This is Solidarity News on Radio Labour.
This is a Radio Labour World Report recorded on September 21st, 2018. I'm Mark Belanger. In the report this week, thousands of blacks and other people of colour in the UK face deportation. McDonald's workers strike across the United States. The Labour Start report about union events around the world and singing Take 'Em Down. This is Radio Labour. After World War II, much of the UK was in a ruined state and needed lots of people to help it recover. It invited thousands of people to come to Britain as workers in the reconstruction. Many of those workers were people of colour from countries in the Caribbean or other parts of the Commonwealth. Now, those workers are being told that they must return to their country of origin. It's being called the Windrush scandal after one of the ships that brought the workers to the UK. I talked to Zita Holborn about the situation. Ms. Holborn is the national chair of an advocacy organization called Black Activists Rising Against Cuts, known by its acronym BARAC UK. I asked Ms. Holborn to describe what's become known as the Windrush scandal.
So the Windrush scandal, as it's been called, is about the injustice that's been experienced by people that came to the UK, predominantly from the Caribbean, during the 1950s and 1960s, people that were invited to the UK after World War II to help the post-war effort. They were directly recruited in some circumstances by public sector organisations, by the Department of Employment, to come and do jobs in the UK. They were told this was mother country. Some countries were part of the British Empire. As far as they were concerned, they were British citizens. 50 or 60 years later, they're now being told that they're in the country illegally. They're literally being snatched, detained, and deported, and being deported in many cases en masse. So entire planes being chartered just for the purpose of deporting people.
Do you have an example of somebody who was affected by this scandal?
I have lots of examples. I have been supporting lots of different families and individuals at different stages. There are people who ended up being deported, people that have been detained for long periods, and also people who have been deported and they're not allowed into the country for around 10 years, sometimes more than 10 years. And also people that have gone on a holiday back to their country of origin in the Caribbean. They may have gone to a family funeral or something like that. When they've tried to return to the UK, they've been refused entry into the country and effectively been exiled for 10 years. One case that is at the front of all our minds here in the UK right now is the case of Sarah O'Connor. Sarah wasn't deported, but she was threatened. She was one of those people that a year ago, having gone to school in the UK, and all her schooling in the UK come as a small child, worked all her life, in her 50s, was suddenly told, you're here illegally, you don't belong here, you're not a British citizen. She was threatened with deportation. She had to fight her case. She almost became destitute if it wasn't for the support of her family and her children, because she had no income. She was threatened with eviction by her landlords because she had no wages, and she couldn't work because they said she was here illegally, even though she'd been working her entire life. And even though she won her case and fought her case successfully, she very, very sadly passed away a few days ago. And the stress of this whole year fighting for justice took its toll on her.
It seems quite clear, given that most of the people affected are black or people of color, that this is a racist situation. Do the government authorities recognize the racist nature of this scandal?
No, because they're in denial about their racism. The rest of the society does. And they're also trying to mask the real figures, I would say. I've served two Freedom of Information requests with sets of questions in each request on the government. And they have a set period in which they're supposed to reply, and they failed to answer my questions. I've had to report them and complain to the information commissioners, who've had to escalate complaints and instructions to the Home Office at two levels I've had to do formal complaints directly to the Home Office about their failure. And then they've come back and said, this is not information that we can share with you 5 months down the line. But they're trying to mask the real problem. They're trying to deny that racism exists. But you're talking about, this is the same government that commissioned Go Home vans to drive around London saying, text home if you're here illegally and we'll help deport you. You know, it's a really racist system that we're having to experience and live with here in the UK. But they're never going to admit that their policies are racist. But yes, if you look at the people who are being targeted, I've talked about people from the Caribbean, but also other former Commonwealth countries. People from those countries are also being targeted, but all people of colour. So you're talking about Nigerians, Ghanaians, other African countries, Pakistani people, Bangladeshi people, but never Australians or Canadians, for example.
An extended version of this interview can be found on the Radio Labour website. McDonald's workers in the United States and around the world are fed up with sexual harassment on the job, C. Marie Ainsborough reports.
McDonald's workers in 10 U.S. cities went on strike against sexual harassment on Wednesday, September 19th. The strikes were scheduled for lunchtime, the busiest time for the restaurants. The job actions were planned months ahead, with hundreds of McDonald's workers participating in strike committee meetings. The union supporting the workers is the Service Employees International Union, the SEIU. Here are some of the workers who have been organizing the strikes.
Hello, my name is George and I work at McDonald's.
I'm a worker at McDonald's.
I'm a fast food worker at McDonald's.
Hi, I'm Tyree Johnson, a McDonald's worker. 26 years.
And I work at the McDonald's at 2425 East 79th Street. And I think sexual harassment is wrong and it shouldn't be happening at the store at all.
I don't think that sexual harassment should be acceptable in any stores. Me personally, I haven't experienced, but I have seen like a few of my coworkers experience, but they never like really spoke up and spoke out about it. They kept quiet out of fear of losing their job, or I guess you would call it being a snitch in the store. But when other people that I know of have went to management, nothing was done.
I've heard stories in past events about women being sexually harassed on the job, and it really got me emotional.
McDonald's itself, when they hear a complaint, they don't do anything about it. They just pass the buck from this person to this person to this person. But it really needs to stop because it's really happening in the workplace and it's not right.
There are a lot of women there that works there that have been harassed by guys themselves, workers, customers, managers.
Yeah, so McDonald needs to step in and really see what's going on in these facilities because it's happening every day.
An industry report has shown that 90% of women working at McDonald's have experienced some form of sexual harassment. With the help of SEIU, the McDonald's workers are campaigning for a $15 an hour wage. They are also complaining about a wage structure which allows employers to pay only $2.13 an hour to employees who receive tips. This federally stipulated tip wage rate has not been increased since 1991, 27 years ago. The struggle to get McDonald's to pay decent wages is a worldwide one. Last year at this time, workers in Britain went on strike for a £10 an hour wage. In New Zealand, Unite the Union won a $15 an hour minimum wage and legislation outlawing 0 hours contracts. 0 hour contracts stipulate that workers must be available for work but are not promised any hours. This is C. Marie Ainsborough reporting for Radio Labour.
Here with his report about union events around the world is Labour Start correspondent Derek Blackadder.
Here's a small sample of the hundreds of union news stories in 31 languages added to our site each day last week. Our top stories section included links to coverage of the arrest on terrorism charges of those who led a strike of construction workers protesting the death of 17 of their co-workers in Turkey and demands for an increase in the minimum wage for garment workers in Bangladesh. We had news of strikes and lockouts in dozens of countries. Here are just a few highlights. Rail workers in the United Kingdom carried out the latest of a long string of one-day walkouts as they continued to resist the elimination of train positions. Dutch postal workers refused work when they were instructed to sort their mail while walking and delivering it rather than at a central location. Public transport workers in India mounted a mass hunger strike as part of their struggle to stop the privatization of the service they provide. State employee unions in Swaziland, where workers' organizations face extreme legal and extra-legal oppression, held a three-day strike this week to protest a deadlock in wage talks. Belgian harbor pilots were on dry land as they escalated their wage dispute. A series of strikes swept Costa Rica as unions resisted changes to the tax system which affect low-income workers. In Israel, a mass sick-out by train drivers resulted in their employers' return to the bargaining table. Oil workers in South Africa entered the third week of a strike by mostly white workers as they attempted to gain access to an economic empowerment program that is aimed at black workers. And the lockout of aerospace parts workers in Canada is now approaching the 700-day mark. Our top working women's stories included coverage of a one-day national strike against sexual harassment by McDonald's workers in the United States, the union raising the alarm about the decline in the number of female apprentices in Australia, and the passage of union-supported improvements to pay equity legislation in New Zealand. The Health and Safety Newswire, rerun in cooperation with Hazards Magazine, carried stories to hundreds of union websites around the world about the union study that links the increase in the use of certain street drugs to the workplace violence experienced by Canadian healthcare workers, and calls by a union in Macau for the closing of casinos whenever a typhoon threatens that city. Currently, Labor Start is running three online actions. Take just a few seconds out of your day and join thousands of trade unionists around the world in helping workers make their lives better, or even help save those lives. This is Derek Blackadder from Labor Start, reporting for Radio Labor.
Now here are the Dropkick Murphys with Take 'em Down.
They'll put us down. When the boss comes calling, you'll stand your ground. When the boss comes calling, don't believe their lies. When the boss comes calling, he'll take his toll. When the boss comes calling, don't sell your soul. When the boss comes calling, we gotta organize. Let them know we gotta take the bastards down. Let them know we gotta smash them to the ground. Let them know. You'll be on your own. When the bus comes calling, will you stand alone? When the bus comes calling, will you let them in? When the bus comes calling, will you stand and fight? When the bus comes calling, we must unite. When the bus comes calling, we can't let them win. Let them know we gotta take the bastards down. Let them know we gotta smash them to the ground. Let them know we gotta take the bastards down. When the bus comes calling, gotta stand your ground. When the bus comes calling, don't believe their lies. When the bus comes calling, he'll take his soul. When the bus comes home, don't you sell your soul. When the bus comes calling, we gotta organize. Let them know, we gotta take the bastards down. Let them know, we gotta smash them to the ground. Let them know, we gotta take the bastards down. Let them know.
And that's it, international labor news you can use. You can find more labor news on our website at www.radiolabor.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Labor. I'm Mark Boulanger. Thank you for listening. And remember, it's all about global solidarity.